This is one of our favorite places in the whole world to come to. We enjoy this place so much, and the reason we do is because of your response to us. You welcome us. You're friendly. One of the greatest country churches I know of in America. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And we're just so thrilled and thankful to be here. Thankful that my wife, we go to what, about 10:15? Is that fine? Huh? All right. Okay. I'll try. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, come on. Now, you're supposed to make me feel good. But we are delighted to be here and looking forward to the morning service and looking forward to tonight. I hope all of you will be here tonight because I've got something very special that I want to share with you. But today, I would like to speak to you in the Sunday School Hour about the evidence of salvation. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to be here. Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, you've been so wonderful, and Lord, I pray that you'll bless each one here today. Lord, help us to have a closer relationship to you. Lord, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that I'll be able to help some people here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You've probably heard that before, but if we were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? You know, there are Christians all over the world being killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so sheltered in America that we don't realize how good we have it. So therefore, we complain, we gripe. How many people in here never complain about anything? Huh? Oh, all of you do? You never do? You never complain about your wife? Now he's looking, Well, I'm afraid we all have a little tendency to do that from time to time, don't we? Complain and gripe, and you know, the truth is God has been so good to us. I've heard missionaries tell if we could go to a foreign country for just a little while, it'd change our way of thinking, and I'm sure that that is true. Awareness. We all need to be aware of what's going on, don't we? And we, if we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, and I'm assuming that I'm talking to Christians here this morning, there will be a greater awareness of words, thoughts, and actions which do not please the Lord. Are there words that come out of your mouth that's not pleasing to the Lord? Now, I can remember back in the day when I was growing up and as a young adult, my mouth was not what it ought to be. And I got to listen to myself one day. And I said, you know, you don't have to talk like that. You don't have to say that. You don't have to do that. Why not say words that are pleasing? Deliberately and on purpose. The Bible says, the Holy Spirit, and when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's John 16 and 8. So the Holy Spirit is going to reprove us of the words that we say. Have you ever said something that immediately it struck you in your heart saying, you know, I shouldn't have said that. It may not have been bad words, but it may have been something that was negative and contrary to what we should say. And you know, we live in a world where all around us, I grew up in a coal mining community, and I didn't realize how wicked and how bad it was back in those days. Because I can remember men that worked in the coal mines, and every other word that came out of their mouth was a cuss word. And you know, that just doesn't have to be. And you know, if you're around that, sometimes you'll pick it up, especially as a child. So you young people, take note, okay? Watch the words of your mouth. Make sure the words of your mouth are wholesome words. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? And so the Holy Spirit is going to reprove us. If you're saved, there's an automatic little stick in your heart. The Bible calls it pricks. You know, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The Apostle Paul had these little things sticking in him. He may have been at the crucifixion. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death, and he probably had other Christians put to death and tortured and what have you. And so all these things, when he would see their faces, the face of Stephen shone like an angel. You know, I mean, his face just lit up. And I'm sure that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, took note of that and began to stick him. Well, maybe as I say this morning, maybe that will stick you. Maybe it won't. Maybe it won't even reach your heart. Maybe it won't reach what you're saying and what you're doing. But God help us to watch every word that we say. Every word that we say is very, very important. Did you know the Bible says that you will give an account for every word? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something? And it's something to think about too. So this week when you go about your business, going to school, going to work, around the house or wherever, make sure your words are what they ought to be. And that word awareness, become aware of how you are to conduct yourself. Regardless of how everybody else is conducting themselves, you become aware of how you conduct yourself with right words. And then the appetite. There will be a growing hunger for the Word of God as you read and study certain passages. It'll stand out to you, and a new meaning will come to you. How many of you have read verses over and over and over and over and over and over again in the Bible, and then all of a sudden it just, boom, hits you in the face? Right? It'll do that. And so, appetite. You know, when you get saved, well, let's back up. When you get born into the physical body, did you know you came into this world with an appetite? And it looks to me like some of you, most of you, are doing pretty good. You had something to eat this morning, did you not? I dare say there's not a person here that didn't have something to eat this morning before you come to church. And you can't wait for this service to get over so you can go out and eat dinner. By the way, it's breakfast, dinner, and supper. I haven't figured out when all these people eat dinner in the evening. If they eat dinner in the evening, when do they eat supper? It don't make sense to me. And you know, the farmers out working in the field, they'd have the dinner bell to ring at 12 noon, right? I'm glad we got that settled. But you know, there will be a growing appetite for the Word of God. And when you were born into this world, this includes all of the animal kingdom, the dogs and the cats and the cows and the, everything else out there. They know exactly where to go to get the milk. They have a hunger from the time that they're born into this world. You have a hunger. You have a physical body that feeds on physical food. Now, that's an amazing thing. The physical body is an amazing thing. All of you had something to eat this morning, didn't you? And if you could see what is in your stomach right now, you would not eat it. Because it stinks. You see, when you take a bite of food and put it in your mouth, it tastes so good. Boy, it's good. And then you swallow it into your stomach, and immediately some acid is dumped in. And then your gallbladder, if you have one, your gallbladder dumps a bunch of gall into that food. Yeah. And then all that food goes down into your small intestines. And your small intestines are 22 feet long. Is that right? I think that's right. And in that small intestines, there are just literally thousands and thousands of little bitty vessels that take that food, that good stuff. The food that you put in the mouth, it has good stuff and it has bad stuff. The good stuff you take into your body, and the bad stuff you flush it down the toilet. All right? So, as that good food goes into your intestines, it goes from your small intestines to the marrow of your bones. And that's where your blood is manufactured. Isn't that amazing? And then your bone is like a real hard sponge. It's got just millions and millions and millions of holes in it and little bitty blood vessels that go from the marrow of your bones to take this nutrients, to take the blood to your heart, and then your heart pumps it through the rest of your body, and that's how you live. And that's how you function every day. But did you know that you have a spiritual body? If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you have a spiritual body. And you have a tendency to eat once a week. Some of you only eat once a week. That's all you eat. You get on the church bus and come to church, or you come to church on Sunday morning, and that's all you eat all week. Your poor old spiritual body is very anemic. If you could see your spiritual body right now, how would you feel about it? What would you think? Because your spiritual body, just like your physical body feeds on physical food, your spiritual body feeds on spiritual food. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation. That is food for our bodies. And some of you have never even tasted of the good food that God has for you. We're trying to feed you. Did you ever try to feed a baby? I better stay with this, hadn't I? Did you ever try to feed the baby these green carrots and they spin them right back up at you? Green carrots, green beans, green peas, yellow carrots. I'm sorry. I got that wrong, didn't I? At least I made you laugh. But anyway, you put that in the baby's mouth and you spit it right back up and you have to poke it back in. My goodness, it's so messy. My goodness. But you know what? God is trying to give you some spiritual food. Do you regurgitate it? Do you throw it back in his face? Or do you take it into your heart? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. My wife and I, Sandra, we've been reading our Bible through twice a year now. And you know, when we first started, it was a little hard. And a lot of stuff we didn't get. And there's still a lot of stuff that we're not getting. We read right over the top of it. But you know, every time we read it, it gets a little bit more familiar. And so we are supposed to have an appetite that's growing for hunger in the Word of God. In Job, it says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job loved the Word of God more than he loved natural food. And it showed in his life. Now, Job was one of the greatest men that ever lived. All of you know the story of Job, how that the devil accused him, and so forth and so on. You know, Job had a wife, and they had 10 children. And as I've studied the life of Job, I've come to the conclusion that his 10 children were not all that hep. They were not all they wanted to do was party. They weren't that good of kids. Matter of fact, I think, Job, they would have a party, and the girls, the 7 sons and the 3 girls, they would come to their house and they would have a party, and Job would look at that, and then he'd go offer sacrifices because he was afraid of what was going to happen. Well, it did happen. All 10 of them were killed. Have you ever noticed that Job didn't have any grandchildren? So his 7 sons were not married. And his 3 daughters, they were the life of the party. They weren't married. And so, it's amazing. So God allowed them to be killed. And this grieved Job so much. And Job went through all of that with his friends and with the young man that brought an accusation against him. And then when God got on his case, boy, that was something, wasn't it? Now here's the amazing thing. After Job went through all of that, he had 10 more children. And his 3 daughters were the fairest in the land. Aren't you glad you get a second chance? Isn't it wonderful to get a second chance? His daughters were the fairest in the land, and Job was able to see his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and his great-great-grandchildren. Isn't that amazing that they sat on his lap? And so, appetite is very important. We need to study our Bible. And then appreciation. That comes back to that complaining that we talked about earlier. If we're complaining, we're not appreciative of what God has done for us. God has been so good to us. There's not a one here that has not been blessed of God. You could be living in a mud hut somewhere, but God has been so good to you, and God has blessed you so much, and God has been by your side. And so we need to have an appreciation for what God is doing. There will become a deep, genuine desire and aching for a changed life. You'll delight in discerning the will of God for your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passing away. And all things are becoming new. Now, that literally means that you are growing as a Christian. And old things are passing away. And all things are becoming new as you grow in your Christian life. That's a wonderful thing. We all need to grow. And that's called sanctification. And so we need to be very appreciative of that. You know, every one of us have a problem with the flesh. I grew up, as I told you, in a coal mining community. I grew up on country and western music. I loved country and western music. We went to church, and I sang the church songs at church, but all the rest of the week, it was country and western music. That's all it was. That's all we listened to. And I had such a deep down desire. I even moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and studied there for a while, and I knew many of the stars. I grew up with some stars in Muhlenberg County, and I had a deep down desire for country and western music, just like some of y'all do, okay? But you know what? When God started working on my heart, back in 1979, we started Faith Music Missions. We have recorded somewhere in the neighborhood of over 10,000 songs. And when we started recording with Faith Music Missions, people would say, well, I don't like your music. I just don't care for that. Because the music had taken a tremendous turn. Drums used to be about 5% of a production with an orchestra. Then all of a sudden it became 95%, and that's all you hear is ba-boom, boom, boom, ba-boom, boom, boom. That's all you hear. And people will say, well, I don't like what you do. I don't like your music. Well, come to find out, there was a small group of people worldwide that loved the old-fashioned music. And so as a result of that, Faith Music Missions began to grow and has grown into a national ministry that goes around the world. It's amazing. But you know what? When I started feeding on gospel music, when the Lord called me to preach at a young age, I began to feed on gospel music. I didn't like it because I liked the old-fashioned country and western music. That's what I liked. I didn't like the news. I didn't like what I was feeding myself on. But you know what I did? I force-fed myself on gospel music. And you know, the Bible says the things that I once hated, I now love. And the things I once loved, I now hate. I absolutely despise what's coming out of Nashville, Tennessee, for the most part. I despise what's coming out of Hollywood, California, and other places. I despise it. Matter of fact, my wife and I went to a restaurant yesterday, an Amish restaurant of all things, and had our supper, and they were playing a song. This fellow was singing, "I searched all over for hell. I searched all over hell for heaven, and I couldn't find it anywhere." I thought, wow, good grief. Why in the world would they even play a song like that? But I used to be wrapped up in all that junk and trash, just like some of you all maybe are now. And if you are, you say, well, I don't like your kind of music. The truth is, kids love our music after they listen to it a while, because they begin to grow. And so we need to learn to have an appreciation for the things that are right. Do you appreciate what's right? You see, we have the flesh and the spirit, and they are contrary the one to the other. And one of the realizations that you get as you get older, you begin to realize what Paul said, "I know that within me, that within my flesh dwelleth no good thing." You take all of these people out here and you take them out here in the field and you dump them all into a hole together, dead bodies, and all we are is a bunch of junk, a bunch of fertilizer. God help us, because there's more to it than that. Not only should we learn to be appreciative of what God is doing, we also need to realize that there is adversity coming. There is adversity coming your way. There will be an immediate increase in personal testing. Often this test comes from the closest friends that you have. Your friends are no longer your friends because they don't like the direction that you're going. And you don't have to lose them, they'll lose you real quick. And so, you are going to have adversity. You are going to have problems. You are going to have difficulties. Up around Munfordville, Kentucky, anybody ever been to Munfordville, Kentucky? One fellow here. Green River is not even as wide as here. I mean, you could walk across it. And if you go on up to the mouth of Green River is just coming up out of the ground. But it flows down through Munfordville, Kentucky, and on down through Bowling Green, Kentucky, and on down through Rochester. And at Rochester, Mud River connects with it. It was named Mud River for a reason, okay? And then it come on down to other little tributaries, creeks and rivers join in the Green River. And down by Evansville, where it dumps into the Ohio River, you can look at the Ohio River where the Green River dumps into it, and Ohio River is a different color than the Green River. The Green River is better than the Ohio River. But you know, if you go on down south, down the Ohio River, on down to Memphis, Tennessee, and on down to the Mississippi, and on down to New Orleans. My wife were down there one time and we turned on the faucet in the motel room and the water was just murky and muddy. Anybody ever been there? Just murky and muddy. And you know, if you're flowing with the crowd, you're not going to have a lot of adversity. If you're just flowing down the river, you start out here where the Green River is just pure and clean. You can drink out of it. But if the further you go, and especially at flood times, you got all kinds of logs and debris in the river. And you know, that's sort of like when you get saved. Getting saved is going down the river, and repentance is saying, uh-oh, this is wrong. And you turn around and you start going upriver. When you start going upriver, you don't do it naturally. Now, you can go downriver naturally. You can just flow with the tide. You can just go right along with what's flowing down the river. But if you're going to make a difference in this world and you turn around and you start going up the river, you're going to face all those logs coming at you. You're going to face this, that, and the other. And it's going to take effort on your part. If you've got a boat with oars, you're going to have to paddle harder and harder and harder. I mean, it's just the way it is. And so that's the way the Christian life is. When you're going up the river, you're going up, you're going to meet with all kinds of adversity. Adversity on every side. There's going to be people that don't like you anymore. They're going to go a different direction. You've got your own problems that you're having to deal with in your own heart. You've got all kinds of things that you're facing, and God help us all. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Luke 6:22. So there is going to be adversity in your life. There's no way to get around it. You are going to have problems. And how you deal with those problems is very, very important. Because you are the only one that can deal with those problems in your own heart and life. And God help you to do so. The next thought I have today is that of admiration. Admiration. I saw Mrs. Ross. Don't even know what your name is anymore. What's your name? Huh? Okay. She's here today. When I came in, she looks so good. And I tell you what, her husband, I'm telling you, one of the greatest preachers ever in this country. Now, her son, I'm not so sure about him, because I vote myself in as pastor every year when I come. So we're going to have a vote after a while, and I'm going to become pastor of this church. But anyway, we do that every year, and she reminded me of that this morning. But I remember her husband. I remember the message that he preached about taking you to the symphony. And what a great sermon that was. And then one about the tsunami. And just a great man of God. Wonderful, wonderful memories of Brother Ross. And you know, every one of us need to have a growing admiration and appreciation for Christians around us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That's 1 John 4:7-13. Admiration. Who is it that you admire? You know, there are people, by the way, I don't know where you stand on this, but when I get in charge, I'm going to close down all sports on Sunday. There will be no more sports on Sunday. It's going to be gone. Have you ever noticed they can take 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people and fill them up in the stadiums? And some of those tickets are how much? $2,000, $3,000 if you get a front seat? I mean, more than that? I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not cued in. But all I know is it's a lot of money. And that's why they can pay these people a lot of money, so that they can take a knee for the flag. God help us. God help. Who is it that you admire? Some of our young men, you may admire some sports star, some star of some kind, some singing star. Well, why not admire Jerry Ross? I'm telling you, you are blessed. You are blessed to have the preacher that you have here. I think you know that, don't you? If you don't, something's wrong with your head. God help us all. But our admiration for the right thing should grow. And if the admiration grows for the right things, then we'll start looking at this other stuff and saying, you know, I just don't care for that. I just don't care for that. And then the last thing that I want to talk to you about today is aspiration. What are your aspirations? Where are you going? And what are you going to do? You know, I grew up in, like I said earlier, I grew up in country and western music, and I was all wrapped up in it. I love the old-fashioned stuff. I love the Sons of the Pioneers and Eddie Arnold and stuff like that. And what I liked, the rest of the world didn't care too much for. But, you know, I believe that God even had a hand on me back in my younger days, because I had a desire to see something happen in the music world. I had a deep down desire to see some things happen. I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't know what I was doing. I had to learn every step of the way that I learned what I'm doing. And, you know, but I was aspiring to do something for the cause of Christ. In 1979, we started Faith Music Missions, and now it is a worldwide ministry that goes around the world. There will be an immediate desire on your part to want to share with others what God has done for you. There will be an immediate desire for you to have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107. So we are supposed to let people know how we feel about things. And you know, young people, a lot of times they say, oh, I can't do that. Somebody might make fun of me. Well, they're going to make fun of you anyway, one way or the other. So you might as well learn to aspire to do something. Are your aspirations to do something for the cause of Christ? Set your affections on things eternal and not on things of this world. Because we need to really be looking forward to what we can do for the cause of Christ. My wife and I went to Brown County. I guess everybody here has been to Brown County, haven't you? How many has been to Brown County? Just a few of you. We'd never been. We'd heard about it all our life. Had no idea that I've been to the Smoky Mountains. I've been to Lookout Mountain. I've been to the Rocky Mountains. I've been to mountains. But nothing like Brown County. Never seen anything like it. You drive those roads and you look straight down forever almost. We were driving up there and looking around and trying to see some sights. And the bus driver that we had was either one of the best bus drivers in the world or one of the worst. He made some turns that were absolutely incredible. You know, your right-hand turns are harder than your left-hand. Am I right on that? Truck drivers here, any truck driver? Right hand is harder than the left, right? And so he had to make some circles to get turned where he was going. And there was one place where he missed a stop sign by 2 inches. But he knew exactly what he was doing. And when we got back to Evansville, I said, well, I want to compliment you on your driving. And I said, if you'll listen to this, it'll help your driving. I gave him a track for Faith Music Radio. And he looked at it and he said, oh, I already listened to that. So the point I'm making is we are having an influence on people that we have no idea who they are, where they are, where they're going, or what they're doing, and only eternity will tell. Every one of us should have an aspiration of doing something for the cause of Christ.